everyone. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and you are listening to the Down and Dirty Podcast, aka the Double D's of Dating. This is a podcast for navigating the ins and outs of modern midlife dating. Here, we will discuss the challenges that men and women face in today's dating world. Like many industries, this one is forever changing, and I believe this platform will help those who need or want it. Today, it is the best time to take control of your desired outcome. Whether it is a marriage, significant other, life partner, or just to gain the confidence in dating once again. Every other week, we will dive in and talk about different viewpoints that seem to be challenges in today's dating arena. So let's get into today's episode. Welcome to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast. As always, I am your host, Celeste Moore. Today, I'm super excited and honored to be able to speak to my guest, Jacob Lucas. But before we jump into today's episode, I would love to introduce him. So Jacob is as a leading global dating expert. He has helped millions of people achieve the love life they've always wanted through his real life methods that have garnered him over 750,000 followers on his social media, featured in global news articles, live TV interviews, and guest spots on several well-known podcasts. His methods have been used by millions. Well, again, thank you for being on today's show, Jacob. It's super exciting to have you on. And as another, I think you're probably my first dating coach. And I'll tell you, I've had multiple coaches on my show, or therapists, or, you know, relationship coaches, but an actual dating coach. Yeah. So I'm excited.
I'm honored to be the first one. I'm very excited. Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I really do appreciate that. I'm excited to have a conversation about dating, love, and all that stuff.
I love it. Isn't that the best? It's so fun. Mm. It's literally, I get to do my dream job. I don't even consider it a job. I love to help people be their best selves. And so I think this is something, I don't know. So I guess my first question for you would be, how did you decide to get in this line of work? Is it a personal journey for you, or was it something else?
Yeah, a bit of a weird journey, actually. So, okay. So how it started, I've always been fascinated with psychology. So if you watch my stuff, a lot of it's like real life psychology stuff that works, not so much like fluffy, is like stuff actually works, like the algorithms of dating and the mindset. But I always say psychology for a very long time, for like quite over 10 years now. But I've always did that in my own time. And I've always been interested in the psychology of attraction. It's been very, it's like something, when you're like a young man, you want to learn it. So you want to know what to do when you're older. And at the same time, I actually was a professional boxer, funny enough, which is really random, isn't it?
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, hence the reason the nose is smashed across my face, but it's what it is.
I didn't even notice.
Looks terrible, trust me. So I actually did that. I wasn't a very good one, obviously, but I did that for a bit, and then I stopped. And funny enough, I actually got extremely ill, really unwell. And then I thought I was going to die. It was touch and go. It was scary. I thought I was going to die. I was like, I'm going to go, I'll be gone here. This isn't, what's the point? Like, do you know what I mean? So I stopped anything physical for quite a long time. And then I thought, if I'm going to die anyway, I might as well always do what I want to do, which is dating coaching and helping people in the dating world and doing X, Y, Z. And I thought, you know, I'm going to put out there everything that I know. And I just went OCD crazy hard on it, basically. Put on TikTok, and before I knew it, I was like getting millions and millions of views. People were like, this is amazing. Can I book you in? And it started growing like that. But what was really prominent that I found is that all the years of studying it, because it was like OCD obsession study. It wasn't like, oh, I'll pick up a book here. It was like mental. Like, it was just like, well, how about personality trait? Where I'm just like, you go insane on something. I don't know why it just is. And then I was like, oh my goodness, I know more than 99.9% of people in this area. Like, and that's it started huge. Going through as well. Yeah. And then the results started flying in. And before I knew it, I was like, well, one of the biggest online. I was like, okay, wicked. So it's just come out of nowhere, really. But it was all from a very pure place. I just want to help people, like, because love is the best thing in the world, without a doubt. And one of them anyway. And I thought, if I'm going to die anywhere, I might as well help people, you know, find love. And it literally was that. So I didn't care about money, didn't care about this. A lot of people get in dating world, you know, for money, which is fine. That's what you want to do. I didn't think I was going to live. So I didn't think I was going to have any money. So fuck it. That's what I thought. And then I thought, do it, because it's so authentic and so pure, I think that's what really resonated with people.
Yeah. Oh, they for sure can tell that you're coming from a place of authenticity. That's something that you truly are passionate about. So
absolutely.
You keep saying you thought you were going to die. Was that because of boxing?
Was it No. Luckily, I got out of there before I got brain damage from the boxing, thankfully, because that's a scary world. I was getting headaches, but no, it wasn't. It was actually a really random virus took me out really bad. And then it's just, thank God, I'm lucky now. It could have gone either way. But I'm on, you know, I'm 99% better. I should be a bit careful. I can't do what I used to do a little bit. But, you know, I still exercise and all that stuff and still in good shape. That's
crazy.
But I'm religious and spiritual anyway. So I think it's God's way of pushing me to do what I do. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't have met my girlfriend now, which I'm super happy with. Wouldn't have the life I live now, which is the best life ever, really. And I get, like we said earlier, like, you don't see it as a job. Because you're helping people, you actually enjoy it. I don't wake up thinking, I gotta wake up now, I gotta go do my boring job. I'm thinking, oh great, cool, what's an agenda today? And I don't ever feel like it's a chore. I genuinely enjoy it. And when you get a client and actually get into a nice relationship, because you know yourself, you form like friendships with clients, don't you?
Yes, for and sure.
Absolutely. And when they do something amazing, like they get their partner, like, yeah, it's like it feels great. And it's amazing. I love it. Absolutely love it. I'm now an author for it as well, which is someone I didn't see coming either. So I wrote my own book with everything. So
that's exciting. I just saw that too. This is very new.
It's cool. Like, it's been out for a month now. It's actually done quadruple what I thought it would. I was like, what?
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I literally thought in my head, I would figure like I'll probably push out, I don't know, X amount, it quadrupled. I was like, what? I was like, power of TikTok, isn't it?
Amazing. Yeah, it's something that I'm just barely touching.
You should write your own book, like fashion books. People are interested in that, like 100%.
Yeah. I think putting together, I have something coming at the end of this month, putting together what I'm creating is going to kind of be the segue to a book. So
you should do it. It's like with a book, you've got to be like, again, you've got to be OCD with it. Because it's not like something you can dip in out of, really. It's like, I had to like focus like 2 hours a day here, 2 hours a day there, like every single day. When people are going out and doing stuff, I'm like, nah, just sit there, just get it done. And now I sit back and it's like people enjoy it. And it helps. I've had so many good reviews, people going, oh, it's amazing, X, Y, Z. It's like, it's helped me loads, which is amazing. I absolutely love that.
That's like, awesome.
Yeah, people said they've helped them in their relationships. It's like, it's literally exactly what I wanted it for. So I love that. Love it.
Yes, I loved it. I love that, you know, it's the feedback. Like, I'm open to criticism in either spectrum. But when it is something that you created that has this value to it and that people are actually wanting and needing, and that's huge. I don't know. I just, it's like this, you get tenfold back, you know?
Well, even yourself, like when you have a client, I'm sure he dresses odd, shall we say, and then you style them up and they look awesome. That must be so rewarding. And it makes them psychologically feel better as well, doesn't it?
Really, really does. Because I actually had a client for thinking this person's super confident in his position at work, his career. So when we were doing a bit of shopping and I was like, okay, look in the mirror now, like look at yourself with this. He couldn't look at himself in the mirror.
Oh.
And I didn't think at the moment, I was just like, oh, wow. Like he's so uncomfortable looking at himself. And by like, he kept me on, like we do seasonal shopping or whatever, but another 6 months went by and we decided to do another trip. And I said, okay, now look at yourself in the mirror. And he actually looked at himself. So it was like, he was able to have confidence knowing he had support on my end that I'm going to make him look the best version of himself, you know? And so
I expect what you find is you made more impact in his life than what you ever know. You got to think like every time he goes out of the house or even on a date or whatever it is, it's quite looking at me and thinking, like, crap, like, and his confidence is low. But obviously if you helped him, he probably looks in the mirror and thinks, yeah, I look hot. Yeah. But it sounds weird. But It might sound like small to a lot of people, but to a lot of people, that means the world.
Mm-hmm.
I always think stuff like me and you do, on a macro level, we're not superheroes by a long shot. But to the individual, we can change their life, you know, for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, just knowing that you have someone in your corner, like really caring about you, really caring about the things that they want the best for you. And I think it's just getting that level of trust, right, in the beginning.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I think like just talk with people, like normal people. And like, I think as well, like, I don't know about yourself, but if you've been through some horrible shit in the past, excuse my language.
Oh, no, go for it.
We're English. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
But if you've been through stuff like that in the past where you feel unconfident, or myself, like, for example, if people haven't treated you in the right way, and is there, like, you can identify with these people that you're talking to, right, and then actually get the best. So yourself, actually, that's interesting. Yourself, have you always been good at fashion, or is it something you learn? Like when you were like 18, were you dressed like a bit nerdy or something?
No, I don't think I had, let's see. My parents, we were very like, they didn't have the means to, there was five of us. And, you know, it was like, okay, before school shopping, maybe some shopping at the holidays here and there. But if I wanted to buy anything that I liked, it was, I had to work for myself. So I remember at 12, I started to babysit just so that I could make some pocket money and go buy a pair of jeans that I really loved, because my mom wasn't spending $70 on a pair of jeans. But I was 12, like,
years old.
12.
I'll tell you what, if I had a kid, I ain't let no 12-year-old look after my kid.
You know, it was like the kids were in bed. I think it was like the parents just wanted to have dinner, because I don't remember really like taking care. It was more like a nighttime gig, you know, but I didn't care.
Make sure no one walked in the house.
Yeah, I'm not letting any 12-year-old watch mine either. But so, you know, I guess I tell you, 12 was the moment that I gravitated towards an expensive things. And it wasn't because I didn't know the price of it, but it was more of the quality of a piece, an item of something.
Yeah.
And I'm still the same. I'm like, it's terrible. I mean, it's not terrible because I'm looking at a quality piece of clothing, you know? So it's like, I'm not buying trendy stuff, right? I know stuff comes in and comes out. And if I am, I'm not spending a lot of money. It's more classic pieces. So it's interesting though. Yeah. I noticed at a very young age.
I think when you have an affinity towards it, you get drawn towards it, don't you? Like, I always, like I said, like, I'm spiritual anyway. It's like, you always get a path that gets drawn out for you. But what is it like, the quote, I can't remember what it was. It's like old philosopher goes, the path we obviously often seek to avoid is the path that we actually meant to take.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. Which is true, isn't it? Like,
so true.
Very true. If you'll do what you're meant to do at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think for me, it's really educating, because it's like, you know, I'm great at this and I'm great at that. But it's like when I teach someone and they actually take something and they're like, oh my God, I feel so much better. I can actually date. I can find who I want because I know what I was doing. I know the patterns that I was doing that were no longer serving me and stuff like that. And it's just knowing that I made a difference in someone's life. That's just like, for me, whatever it is, that's it. That's huge. 100%. So do you find that you have more female or male, or do you see both clientele?
The really weird thing is online, on my videos, is about 85% women to watch my stuff.
Okay.
Clients, it's about 50-50, but about 60-40, 60 in favor of women. So that's really strange to me. And I'm like, why is that? I don't know why that is either. That baffles me. It's kind of like,
I can tell you.
I think. Go on, you tell me why.
It's because women are more comfortable paying for help, paying for a coach, paying for a therapist, paying for to improve their lives. And a man isn't as comfortable. Or let me tell you, it's not that he's not comfortable, it's that he's uncomfortable asking for it, even though he needs it and knows that he needs it.
Yeah,
so
I think it's a lot of it's male ego, isn't it? Comes into play as well. A lot of, if you say to 100 guys, are you good with women? 90% of them are like, well, nah, you're on a date, like, anyone want to date you for like last 10 years, mate? Like, and they're like, yeah, I'm good though. every single guy in the world thinks they have dating advice. Women will put their hands up a little bit more, like, oh, I need a bit of help here. Like, you're right, 100%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they listen. Whereas, like I said, the vast majority of guys, not all guys, but the vast majority think they're hyper-competitive, aren't they? And they think, oh, I don't need no one telling me what to do, blah, blah, blah. Which is stupid, really, because I think, because I talk to more women, I know what more women want than what they were. So it just, if they had a brain cell on them, they'd be like, oh, actually, I'll go to him because he talks to women a lot more than the guy. Yeah. You get a toxic dating coaches, the men, online quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, do this, like, just like, you know, like the Tates of the world. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, oh, here we go. And it's not practical in real life. And it's toxic as well. And so, like, you can be a nice guy with an edge, you know, it's not hard.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Agreed. I'm just here to help them from a female perspective. Like, I'm telling you what they want. And where there's a lack, you know, in what's going on, because I have all these female clients and women in my life that are highly successful. Why can't I find a guy? Why is it like this? Well, I mean, there's, you know, a million questions.
What do you think? Uh-huh. If I was to say to you, what's your three most attractive traits in a guy, what would you say?
My three most attractive traits?
I'm the interviewer now, aren't I? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Look at you, Jacob. my most attractive things are having sense of self, that he has his own, like, he doesn't need me to identify him in a couple, in a relationship. So he has his own sense of self. So he has his own sense of self, meaning we're great as a team. But separate, he's also wonderful and fabulous and whole as a person.
I like that. That's good. That's a good one.
Someone that's constantly learning, wanting to grow. Like, you know, that's huge for me. And it can be in any area of his life, like, prefer multiple areas. And then, I think stability, like, to be able to be the trust and be vulnerable with that person. So that if they're stable, then that has a... that for me, it allows me to trust and be vulnerable.
So, that's fair. That's three good ones, to be fair. Mm-hmm. So it's not actually about looks for you then whatsoever.
I would lie if I said no on that one.
Yeah, look, but they're important, aren't they? 100%.
Very important, because it says to me that he cares about himself. The fact that he cares about himself means that he has the capacity to care for other people. Me. Or whoever's in his life.
That's fair. 100%. Yeah. I think you've got to look after yourself before you look after people. 100%. Because you can actually... A lot of people, they give like pieces of themselves away, and there's nothing left for them, effectively, is there?
Most parents.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it could be... For me, it's more the substance, obviously. I can work on the looks. I can work on the image part, right?
Exactly.
I can teach somebody those things, but I feel that if you are lacking that substance, then I can't change that.
A lot of guys use crutches. I find that the biggest one. That's the biggest problem I come across with blokes. Is, do you say blokes in America? You do, don't you? Blokes.
I think it's an Australian and English thing.
English. Right, bloke. Yeah, like guys and stuff. Like, they use crutches a lot, you know? They use their money as a crutch. Mm-hmm. It's dumb. I always say like this, right? Might be a bit rude, whatever, who cares? If, you know, like, a guy uses his money to get women, and if he ends up just using his money to get women, I always think like this. You don't care what I say, do you, really?
Yeah.
I always think like this. He might get a good-looking missus and all this stuff, but you're cheating him with the poor boy. 100%. Because if that's all you've got, there's no sexual gratification there or excitement. And she will bang someone like the poor guy. If you're there for money, secondly, if your money goes, you're screwed, mate. Like, you're done. That's finished. Anything like a crutch like that, like, that's a really big one. I see a lot of guys go, oh, I'm a high value man, I earn a lot. Like, mate, it means nothing these days. Like, I guarantee you, you're hot or you're not, mate. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, looks fade, money comes and goes. Hopefully it stays, but you'd never know, predictability there, right?
100%. Like, I was thinking like that as well. I think it's okay to like be financially stable. I agree with that. Like, you know, a guy should be independent, all this stuff. And like, you know, I completely think a woman should be as well, 100,000%. But it's kind of like when the best quote I've heard for it is, for example, like, if a woman goes to a man for money, for example, she's going to earn every single penny of that. Like, that's true though, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and then basically, like, it's just guys use that crutch too much, and it's stupid. Like, mm-hmm. means nothing as long as you're financially stable. But you know, that's all that matters, because yeah. Just me, everything will come and go, like you said. And so, like, if a woman, I talk to a woman, she goes, "I need a guy who earns six figures, whatever." I'm like, that's like top 1%, you know, don't you? And like, yeah, but I deserve it, blah blah blah. And I'm like, I don't think you understand how money works. Because tomorrow I could be gone. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we're going to dump him. Then you look like a villain. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
She can go make her own money too. I mean, I have like, 100%. You should not be looking at a man just for, yeah, his paycheck. I mean, it's nice. Does it help to have two great incomes or, you know, someone that could take care 100%. Of you? Yes, but that shouldn't be like the ultimate goal of why you want to date somebody or be with somebody, because...
Oh, I agree completely. I think like, because like I said, I always think when it goes, then what? Because no, anything can happen. It could be a war. Then what? Then what happens? You lose all your money. The state could take it away. Like, well, not always, but
right.
Do you know what I mean? You just don't know what's going to happen. So it's an interesting topic I come across a lot, actually.
Forget about even though he could lose it. Even if, say, he keeps it, right?
Mm.
What other things are going to enrich that relationship? Where is that relationship? What is happening? Do you like the person? Is the person sexually, are you attracted to them sexually? Are they doing anything to fulfill what a healthy relationship looks like?
Yeah.
I mean, there, like, it's going to be null and void and empty and ugly, and it's going to get at some point, you're not going
to
be
it's
happy.
It's no way to live life, is it? Like, whatsoever. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. absolutely not.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Thanks for bringing that up, because, yeah. It's interesting to, from your perspective, because I do see that a lot. I do see guys like, oh, wearing my big Rolex or driving my, I don't know, whatever cars, you know, six figure car, and I've got this and I've got that. And it's like, okay, well, but who are you? Like, what are you about? Like, what do you have 100%. To offer somebody?
So, exactly. I always think like I said, I've come across it before with people, and I'm saying like, mate, you're losing the point here. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And some people just don't get it. And I'm there like some people are so, like, it's a social matrix, if you will. Like, they're so socially conditioned with it. They don't understand it. I always say, like, I always say this, but no one listens to me apart from, like, a few. And the few who do all works from, right? So philosophy, you sort of, your philosophy, you can talk people's ear off. Do you know what I mean? And it's interesting. It's different. And it's... makes you more interesting, more intellectual, makes you better conversation. Very few would do it because it takes time and effort. But that will always be money. Every time. But no one listens to me with it. And it's bizarre to me. I'm like, okay, whatever, you do what you want to do. Very strange, yeah. But
I think it
makes them morally better as well.
I think they get to a point where, okay, I have all this money and here are the girls, the women that have liked me. And it's like, you know, 3 months here, there's another girl, right? There's no stability. And then he's kind of tired of that life. And that's kind of when it's like, it's something where he'd be like, okay, I need your help. Like, I'm tired of this. I want something more meaningful. I want something that's, you know, I'm tired of this
If they relied upon their money for so long, let's say we're doing that for 10 years, they're so socially conditioned, they don't know how to build a connection, mm-hmm. because that's all the connection they had was their money,
right?
Wasn't it?
Yep.
So then it's hard. Then you've got to retrain the habits of people, mm-hmm. on a date. For example, don't go and buy them a fancy handbag before you go on a date with them. It makes you look like a weirdo. Like, do you know what I mean?
That is a little weird.
Yeah, people do it though.
Yeah, I'm sure. So what do you think men are looking for when they're dating?
There's two different types of men in there. Okay. So you've got your high value men, but your low value men. So let's start with the low value, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite a cynic. I'm a realistic cynic. I have good bits as well. Low value men like a woman who's malleable. because it's less intimidating. So as a human nature, people in human nature, they'd like to feel superior, right? That's 99% of people who are like to feel superior.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the reason why someone gets bullied when they're younger, they're going to bully people when they're older, because they've had superiority robbed from somebody else effectively. But a lot of men, like low value men, should I say very low value men, like a woman who's malleable, submissive, and all this shazam, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. And they like to control a woman in the sense of this and that. They don't like a woman far better looking than them because it makes them intimidated. The woman goes to the night out and like, who's looking at you? Who's looking at you? Like, make you sound like a simp straight away. Stop it. Do you know what I mean? So it's like,
their insecurities are coming out. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. A high value man is a completely different ball game. They're rarer as well. But a high value man wants an independent woman, 100%. Intellectual woman. Oh yeah, a low value man wants a woman who's not that intellectual, because you can't challenge him then. A high value man wants an intellectual woman. He likes it when she takes care of herself. Like, that's standard, you know what I mean? Hotter she is, the better. He likes it whenever men look at his missus. I've always found that a case. It's like, huh, like, that's mine, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not insecure. He's like, that's mine. I love that. Obviously, kindness is a massive factor. So for myself, for example, my missus, the best trait she has is she's so nice as a human being. Like, she loves animals. She's really nice to people. I love that. I genuinely think that's a very good trait to have. And it's very attractive. Like, if I was single and there's a woman, she'd be a 10 across the board and everything, but she's not nice to animals, game over, I'm not interested. I want to talk to you again. So it's kind of like a deeper thing, like deep conversations. It really is like that. It's completely different ends of the spectrum. Like, a high value woman will always suffer with a low value man, but they will thrive with a high value man. And vice versa, you know. But it's kind of like, the biggest problem I have with clients is I get a lot of high value women, like, across the board. And what they do is suppress themselves to make themselves lower value, because they don't want to intimidate guys and scare them away. And that's the stupidest thing you'll ever do in your life, because you're going to end up regretting the person you get with. Mm-hmm. It's like a quote, it's actually my book, actually. My dad says, it was, you buy cheap, you buy twice. So if you, yeah,
I like that.
If you get with a guy who's low value because you settled for that person, you're going to get rid of them anyway at some point, and you've got to restart the game. So, women, like, a lot of high value women suppress themselves to be less intimidating. It's not a fact you're intimidating, it's a fact they're intimidated. It's two very different things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's a good answer. It's a great answer. No, it's a great answer, because it's so true. It's like, I know women, they're like, okay, do I need to, like, dumb myself up? Do I need to dim my light? You know, because I don't want to be too much for someone. But it's not that they're too much. It's they're not with their equal. They're not somebody that they can, you know, be next to that person and have a conversation that's actually intellectual or, you know, stimulating or of some substance or value. So yeah, that makes
a lot of men like women they can control, don't they? Oh, you're not going like out here. You're not wearing that. Do you know what I mean? If I said that to my missus, she'd tell me shut up. Like, exactly. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, she's strong-minded with it.
Yeah,
but a lot of guys like that, and as soon as a guy says he's into that, get rid of him. You never talk to that guy again. I hate that character, the undying passion.
Yeah,
they're contagious. They will contagiously infect you with negativity. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas, you know, a high value man will. It's kind of like saying, isn't it? Behind every great man is a great woman. You know, and vice versa. And it's kind of like a woman who is high value just needs. You just don't ever settle. Never sell. And I tell the clients, you've settled before, I don't. And they wait to do what I tell them. And they end up getting someone who treats them wrong. I'm like, yes, good, finally. And they see the difference in the caliber of man.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that stems from just a childhood parental roles? Because I think that that's pretty common.
Yeah, that does come into play a lot. Of like, I always find a lot of parents, if the parents are bad parents, then not always, but a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Then it does roll over, because how you view relationships when you're young affects when you're older, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the trauma triangle thing, isn't it? Have you ever heard of the trauma triangle?
Yes.
Like, heard of this thing?
Yeah.
So it's obviously, for those who don't know, it's you repeat, you help, or you avoid, effectively. So if mum and dad are beating each other up all the time, And then, you know, they go into a relationship thinking that's normal. They're going, because it's traumatic watching as a kid. They're going to start hitting their misses when they're older. And you see that happen so often, don't you?
Yeah.
Because repeating the cycle is really quite dark stuff, isn't it?
Because we tend to gravitate to what's familiar. It's not usually what's good for us in a relationship, but it's familiar. And so that's like, oh, I married my dad. And it's like, I didn't want that. Like, this is what I didn't want. But we naturally gravitate for whatever reason. There's something there. But then it's like breaking that cycle of, I mean, it's not all bad. Like, you could have a great father-daughter relationship, but it's
yeah, absolutely.
Using some examples of, you know, why we continue to put ourselves in this situation.
Do you know what I find really interesting, like, with people, is I get all the time, like, people kind of know the answer before they book in with me. So it's like, I do some Socratic questioning, if you will. So, like, because that's the whole thing, isn't it? Like, you kind of know the answers in yourself anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring it out and they're like, yeah, that is wrong, isn't it? Well, that is right. What I was doing was right there. What I was doing wrong there. And I'm getting the answer themselves, because they come know the answer themselves, but they need it to be drawn out of them, you know? Yes. That'd be interesting. That happened with fashion as well for you.
Not as much. I think it's the confidence, right? They see the barrier, like the conversations in their head that they're having, like, I'm not good enough. I don't, you know, I've been turned down or rejected, or, you know, all of the stories that they have in their head that's happened once or many times, and it creates a story and they continue the story. So once we get past that, right, and then I show them what's possible and look what you can do, and like putting the right colors. And a lot of them don't know those are your power colors. These are the best colors for you. This is based on, you know, XYZ. This is the best, you know, body line for your, this is what you should be wearing. Then they're like, oh, wow. Yeah. So it's a little bit of both for me in the image part, but definitely the dating, they know stuff that's in them. Like you said, it's already there, and it's like pulling it out, and it's like validating that, right, as an expert.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. A lot of people would say, like, they kind of knew, but you just needed someone to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's kind of, well, I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm like, because if, let's say, for example, let's say, have you got a boyfriend?
Not at the moment.
So let's say, for example, you're talking to a guy and he ghosts you. You know the answer anyway. But let's say he didn't. You know not to double text that person. Just leave them to it. And when they come back, don't talk to them again. You know, right, that. But right. A lot of people know this as well. They know when you get ghosted, don't double text that person, don't do this. But they do it anyway.
Yeah.
And then I tell them afterwards, you know not to do that. And they go, I know, but that little voice inside the head said, do it. And they knew it was wrong. So I got kind of like, that's one of my things. I got to train people to get that little voice when they know it's wrong. Because you know that feeling in your heart, like when it's something's right to do or when it's wrong to do, you know?
Yeah.
That little thing.
Don't drink and text, people.
Yeah.
It's like the worst case scenario. Mm. I think women do it a lot. There are some crazy needy guys out there as well, where they're like, oh, she didn't respond. Let me text again. Let me text. Maybe she didn't get it. Maybe she didn't.
Interesting is, I think guys are worse for it by a mile.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, by a country mile. Okay. I think women are more socially acclimated to, like, dating and stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas guys don't really talk about that much with their mates. You don't very, very rarely see a woman text like four times in a row. So some random guy even replying to her on the Instagram at the end, right? But you see that with weird guys. Hello, 2 months later. Hello, 3 months later. You there? That freak, right?
Yep.
So if anyone's listening to this and you're a guy, stop doing that. You make yourself look like a freak. Stop doing it, right? But a lot of guys do that, don't they? Text a woman a month later, like, hello, hello. It's weird.
I've
never understood that mentality. Ever. I've always felt weird.
Yeah, right. Same.
Do you get that happen to you often or not? Like, the guy would come back every so often. Like,
yeah,
mate,
it's
give up.
Like,
I'm not interested.
Are you done going through the apps and you're like, oh, this one was like okay to begin. Let me revisit that. No, you didn't follow through the first time. So why are we going to revisit this?
Mm.
You kind of were like, not even half in. You just got your toe in there.
Yeah, some people, like, the stories I hear are insane. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, some of the times when clients are telling me what guys or girls have done to them, I'm like, how has that happened in reality? I never thought in my head that's a good move to do. And they're like, yeah, this guy did this to me on a date. I'm like, bin him off. I'm done.
It's so nuts.
What?
I don't know. Yeah. People are more ballsy now. I don't know what it is, or they don't care as much, or I don't really know. I wish I had the answers for the crazies, but I don't.
It's a weird world. Sometimes I don't get.
Aren't you happy you're not in the dating world right now?
I'm super happy. Like I said, I got the nicest relationship ever. Like,
that's awesome. How did you meet?
Instagram, the modern love story, right?
I love it.
So she added me on my page, started commenting on a couple of my stuff, and I thought, oh, she's hot. So I went onto her Instagram and I slid into DMs, started a conversation basically. But yeah, she's perfect. Like, very smart woman, very nice woman. I can't fault her anyway. There's literally, we never argue. Always have a nice time. I can't, like, it's perfect. There's not one part of a relationship that's bad. I always think like this: your relationship should be the easiest thing in your life. I don't care what anyone says. People say it, you know, has challenges. Mm-mm. I think you will always come across little bumps in the road, but how you handle them. Yeah, we come across things that happen, but not because of us, if that makes sense. Because like external things would happen, but we talk about things. We don't raise our voice. We don't whatever. We don't belittle. We never call each other names. Nothing like that. We talk about it like proper adults. But this comes into it actually when you said about the parenting thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents don't know how to communicate with each other. So their kids grow up thinking, start shouting at each other, you know, to their partners, for example, when they get older, shout, don't do this, don't have a calm discussion because they've never been taught that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So but me and Mrs. Yeah, it's just amazing. I'm super lucky, very much in love, very lucky, really.
Well, I'm sure you both manifested it, right? You like created that space. I don't know if this is your first like 100% healthy relationship or not.
Well, it's just, you know, everything that happened in the past is a lesson, isn't it? So learn these lessons for the future, sort of thing, isn't it? So
yeah.
What about yourself? Are you dating somebody now or not?
So I'm taking a break, but I'm not actively dating. I will be open to dating, but I'm not at this particular second in my life.
What's your type?
Definitely love an intellectual person. I love stimulation and conversation. It doesn't have to be about, we don't have to have the same things and, you know, to talk about.
Yeah.
Just like in life, I want someone who is interested and, like I said, someone that wants to learn about life and better themselves. And I want a man that's like I said, that I can be vulnerable with, who is a strong guy in the sense that he is very confident in who he is and comfortable, not a jealous type. You know, he's a high value man for sure. Yeah. I mean, looks do matter too. I mean, there's gotta be some chemistry. Like,
do you find guys get intimidated of you regularly or not?
Yeah. So this is something I'm working on right now with myself, because I have been I don't want to call myself a single parent because I'm the only parent. So my daughter's 16, and it's a huge part of why I am been single, because I want to bring that the person that's right into our lives. I get a lot of guys that are married or interested or older and interested.
They're already married.
I don't know what vibes I'm getting off, but it's definitely like, I don't want to hook up with the married guy.
You're not the only one here. I talk to so many different people and they have the same thing, that people like live like a double life, like when they're married and they hit on the women, like a single. Very rare is the other way around. Very rarely a married woman would do that, but a lot of married men do that.
Oh yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, you're a fucking psycho, because they go on dating apps.
Mm-hmm.
And then put on Tinder, for example, my name's Jeff, whatever, Jeff, 45 years old.
Uh-huh.
Just leave his relationship status what it is, right? And then he goes around like, are you dumb? Like, are you stupid? Like, people are going to see who you are, mate. Like,
do you know your husband's on this app? Like,
yeah. What the fuck? And like, oh, with me, it's like, of course it was, you freak. And it's there, like, but it's so common. Like, it's absolutely insane. And some people go dating these people and they pretend they're single and find out 6 months later they're married with kids. And that's not an uncommon story. I've heard this many a time.
Yeah.
But that's insanity. What do you say to the guys who are married here on you?
I know they want it, like, I just kind of brush it off. I'm like, you've got to be joking, right? I'm actually friends with their wives. Like, our kids go to school.
What?
It's happened for years. I'm just like, here and there. Like, I'm like, wow.
Well, give me an example. This is juicy, man. Like, give me an example. Hey.
You know, like, we're all out having drinks. Maybe literally the wife's maybe in the restroom. And he, like, comes up and he's like, oh, you look so hot. Like, you know, like,
what?
Let's, you know, have you ever thought about, like, hooking up with me? What do you think of me? And I'm just like, my mouth is just, like, dropping to the floor. And I'm like,
what?
I never look at you like that because I would never do that. Number one. I don't want to be some kind of side chick. I respect her. Don't be gross. You're being really gross right now. You're lucky that I don't tell her. And eventually I was like, yo.
Yeah, you got to tell them.
I was like, you know, I'm sure I'm not the first person.
Did they stay with him?
Eventually they divorced, but, you know, other women do. Other women do because they have children and they think that this is the life. Oh, he doesn't do that. You know, and it's also this, they don't want to really look at the truth. So I've seen
this is interesting. I do a lot of TikTok lives and people in there, super, I've got like the nicest people in my life ever. Like, they're super nice people.
Yes.
And they're telling me about these stories. And they said that the partner's like basically cheating them. And should I take them back? I'm like, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Like, the second someone's disloyal to you, they don't change. They're cheating. Don't change. Unless they're like maybe 18 years old and they cheat, or it might change. She's a bit an idiot and a bit young.
Yes.
But if someone's like, I've never been proven wrong on this ever. If someone's over the age of 20, let's say 22, and they cheat from them, they never change. Mm-hmm. It's in their character then. Something very big has to happen in their life for them to change, and it never does. But I've never been proven wrong. Have you ever been proven wrong? Because I've never been proven wrong in that. Once a cheat, always a cheat.
It's true. Point.
Absolutely.
There might be like a big dry spell. But yeah, that person knows too that they can come back to you.
Yeah. I always feel like this. Yeah, they can come back to you. It's just when you feel, I always feel like this. If you get to a point where you feel like you need to cheat anyway, get out. It's not hard. Like, because you're going to ruin that person's mentality for relationships.
Exactly. Just if you're not happy and you want to look somewhere else, end the relationship, figure out your life, do what you need to do. But like, yeah, I that was always a huge, I would never do that. Never have, never will. If I'm not happy, then I'm going to end it or figure out how to be happy or whatever it is, right? But I would never do that.
I just feel the mentality that I couldn't, like, as a human being, let alone man, woman, or whatever, I couldn't go out, have sex with somebody, come back and say to Mrs., oh, you're right, yeah, nice day.
Normal.
That's fucked up in the head. That's to me. I genuinely think you have to have something warped in your mind, because that's the guilt just the shame of yourself. But
yeah,
how can, like, these people, if they don't feel guilt from it?
Well,
a different neuron going through the head that I don't have. You know?
So the reason why they're cheating too, right? There's a reason why they're not getting at home, or if they are, they're not communicating to the partners. Maybe they have different like sex things that they want to do. And this person's more vanilla and he's more crazy. I'm just, for example, right? Like, he's into kink. She's not, like, so instead of him talking to her, he assumes like she'll never do that. So let me just go do that outside the house. Boom, yeah, come back and like live this life. So I've seen that a lot.
I just don't get it. I understand obviously the psychology of it.
Right.
But I just think, how can you sit there next to your partner and then you just have sex with someone else and they don't know? I don't get it. Like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. To be able to like totally shut down.
Yeah, like I feel I'm quite moral. Like, I get like spooked. If I accidentally say something that could be mistaken as flirtatious, I'm like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. Right. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't mean it like that, like 100%. But people are like, it's okay, give me shit, do they? And it's like, it's crazy, because the thing is, you'll never know until you're in a relationship with that person either. Mm-hmm. You just don't know, because they're never going to go walk up to you, hey, I cheated. It's not going to happen, is it?
No, but I think, you know, allows, like, it's also our fault as women, right? It's allowing it to continue, right? And so that's been,
Yeah.
it's been almost like, okay, oh, guys are just guys, you know, they're just like, they think with their dicks or whatever. It's like, oh, we're just expect to almost like accept it, you know? I think as a society, it's been kind of ingrained in our heads that men are supposed to, they're just like that. It's okay. Once in a while, boom, boom, boom. And
Do you reckon?
yeah, for sure. 100%. At least in America. I
Do you
mean,
think, have you seen that quite like, is that quite prominent where you are effectively then
yeah, I think it's
in
just,
Austin,
I
the
think,
promiscuous
I
city
don't know.
of America?
I know I've only been in Austin like a year and a half. So I think it's just common American guys. Maybe it's not in Europe, but you know, it's a society. It's kind of gross, right? It's like, oh, but now we're starting to voice our opinion more. Like, no, that's not okay. I don't want to be treated like that. Guys should be just as respectful as we are. And I think it's now there's like a turnover. There's a kind of an awareness out there that, oh, that's gross.
Yeah,
Why?
I think you're right. I think women now are, which is great, which I'm an advocate of, are taking more power back. Like everything should be equal, effectively. Just the bill end up like, I was watching Jordan Peterson actually, and someone said to him, I think he's quite clever. He's a very smart man, and he was saying like, "What's your best advice you've learned all over these years?" No, he's like a professor at Harvard, so he knows his stuff.
Yes.
And he goes, most basic thing I could say for like relationships, just it sounds, he said, I'm quite embarrassed to say this after all my years of knowledge, but it's just be kind to each other. And he's right, isn't it? It is, just be nice to each other. That's all we got to do. But it just seems fucking impossible for so many people. I'm like, what? Like it is, isn't it? Just treat people how you want to be treated,
Yeah.
effectively.
Yeah.
But you don't.
It's the simple stuff. Sometimes we forget those humans, right? There's too many things that complicate us in our lives and our work and da, 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 da. And then we just either blow up on the person that's closest to us. And then, you know, once the damage is done, it's hard to kind of undo that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
What do you think are a few effective communication tools that you kind of talk to your clients about? Because that's, well, essentially what we're talking about here, right?
Effective communication. I would probably say biggest thing I would say is leave your ego at the door, 100%. When you want to bring something up, let's say for example, if I was chatting to my missus. And for those in America, Mrs. means girlfriend, right? That's
Yeah.
an English thing. My missus is
Okay.
means my girlfriend. If there's like a situation, don't try to be right all the time. You know, it's not about being right or wrong. When you feel like you want to be right, instead of actually talking about how a person feels, you have a superiority complex. I don't give a shit what anyone says. That's what it is. So talk objectively and be like, okay, what's happening to you? Listen. It might sound stupid, but it's such a basic skill that people don't have. They interrupt 24/7. You want to get their point. Let's say, for example, if you've got John and Sarah's going, this is how it made me feel, blah, blah, blah. She's talking, John goes, hang on a minute, hang on a minute, hang on a minute, and just starts butting in. Happens too often. It's a very narcissistic trait. I don't like it. It's like trying to win. And the biggest thing, I'll tell you what, actually, the biggest thing that actually changed my whole perspective in communication with arguments and stuff is from Aristotle. It was anger is a form of pleasure, right? Bear with me. Yeah, anger is a form of pleasure because the only reason you get angry is to feel superior over somebody else, and when you feel superior, it feels like you've won. So the only reason you get angry is because you do feel superior and you're trying to win at something. So your anger is a form of you trying to achieve pleasure, hence it's a form of pleasure. Now, when you think like that, and you think every time anyone's ever got angry at me, or I've ever got angry at someone, I'm trying to beat them at something or show my superiority in that situation. And it's true. Like, think for yourself now. Think of one scenario, anyway, think of 100 scenarios, whatever, when someone's angry at you, have they tried to achieve victory over you in that communication?
Yeah, I'm just using one of my daughter lately. And I'm trying to effectively teach her how to grow up and be an adult, right? In a couple of years, she's going to
Yeah.
university. And it's like she goes back to like being a child. And it's like
Yeah.
you know, it's like this frustration. I don't know that I'm trying to win. I'm just trying to get a point across. And maybe that's what you're saying. I'm trying to
You're trying to win the situation, aren't you? You're trying to get her to see your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Effectively, like, look, you need to do this. Like, listen to me. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, you are trying to achieve it. Mm-hmm. Now, once you remove that, and I actually put a quote of it on my Instagram today, actually. I saw on TikTok, I thought it was genius. From Rumi, the poet Rumi, isn't it? Raise your words, not your voice. Rain grows flowers, not thunder. And I was like, it's very good. It's a very, very good quote, that.
Yeah.
And it's there, like, if you start raising your voice, you've lost anyway, you know?
Yes.
And I always remember my dad saying this as well. He goes, dad's got some good quotes. It's not, you know what, my dad, he's not an intellectual man, which is quite funny. But my mum's intellectual. She's the intellectual in the family.
Okay.
And I've actually didn't quote my mum once in my book. she's like a top level psychiatrist. You won't get better at psychology than my mum. She's absolutely stunned for like 30 years, but that's she awesome. Lives it. Like, yeah, you know, she's different breed with it. Like, mm-hmm. she's like a clinical lead in like in hospitals and stuff. Like, she knows what she's doing. My dad's not. And dad's good with money.
Yeah.
But that's his emotional circuitry. He's dead. But he says some great quotes. And he goes, second somebody starts swearing in an argument, you've won. Like, stuff like that. And I think, like, if you're in an argument with somebody and you start saying, you know, start going, oh, fuck you, blah, blah, blah. You've lost. Mm-hmm. You've absolutely lost because I've now beat you because you can't do it. You can't talk properly, effectively.
Yeah.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, but if it's like kind of throwaway swear words, no one cares. But if it's just swearing at you directly, then yeah, you've lost. So I always tell clients, don't raise your voice. Don't get angry. Don't swear. Don't name call. And just listen. Do not interrupt and listen. That's all you've got to do. And I'll tell you what, you will resolve 99% of arguments that way. Sometimes the basic answers are the best answers for complicated questions.
Mm. No, I like that. I think it's actually the person just wants to be heard and know that they're being heard.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what about you? What would you say for your clients? Same question to you.
Yeah, it's actually very similar in the sense that really listening to the person, and like if they can't figure out a way to come to terms with something, right?
Yeah.
There's always something. There's always a resolution. So it's like really letting that person talk and hearing, and the other person kind of reiterating so that they know that they're like, I hear what you say, and make sure that that's what they're, you know, because you can say something to me and I may think it's something else that you're saying to me, right? We kind of interpret things in a sense. So interpret to that other person, that's what they mean, because that's huge. That there could be a whole issue there. And then it's really about not just listening, but then actually doing the work, doing the action of what it is. So it's like, okay, you know, you never pick up the laundry. I don't know. I'm just using something. You're always like a slob and this person's clean. And, you know, I'm just asking you to pick up your clothes. And
wait, has this happened to you? I feel it in your voice. Has it happened to you or not?
It could be. I don't know. I'm very clean.
Yeah,
so.
That's it, yeah.
Pick up. And, you know, for just say it's me. And it's like, I'm thinking that like they don't care and da 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 da. And like, I have all these things going on in my head of what it means to me. The other person is just like, I'm in a hurry. I'll get it later. It's no big deal. It's my home.
Yeah.
So it's then the action right after the listening.
See, housework is an interesting one because me and Mrs., we never argue about housework. I don't think we've ever argued about it once, actually, in our whole time we've been together. I think housework is the easiest thing ever in a relationship. I do half, you do half. It's actually that simple, but people can't do it because they always, it tends to be one person picking up the slack more than the other, right?
Yeah.
I can get that. I'm like, okay, you make dinner, I make lunch.
Yeah.
You do the washing, I do the hoovering. It's literally that simple, isn't it? But I don't know why people can't do that. I don't know why. I actually quite enjoyed in housework. I enjoy it, which is a bit weird.
It's therapeutic.
Yeah, it's relaxing, isn't it? Like,
uh-huh.
But yeah, so you're right. Like I said, like taking the actionable stuff as well, isn't it? If someone says, oh, can you do this, but if some people do take it too far and they ask too much, I mean, it's kind of like, I always think like, if someone starts raising their voice or whatever, or nagging, just walk away, not interested. Talk to me like a human being, or don't talk to me at all, that's your game. And then give them one warning, if they do it again, you're out. Like,
yeah, I agree. Okay, one more question, and then I'm going to, because I love that we've just been free flowing. What are a few tips you can give to those looking to get that first date?
To get the first date?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would say, probably the biggest, best tip actually, so let's say, so have they met the person yet online, for example?
Yeah, say they're like, they've Bumble matched and now they're like, you know, ready to go on the okay. first date.
Momentum is your best friend in this. Momentum, like if you leave it too soon, too long, sorry, mm-hmm. You'll lose momentum. I always think with like all relations, you've got an emotional meter, if you will. So you've got to keep it like at this nice, excitable high point. When you meet someone new, it's exciting. Like, yeah, great. Now that person like takes weeks to get a date arranged. I don't give a shit no more. They're like, I don't know you. Like, you don't mean nothing. I always think within the first 7 days, you should be on a date. If you meet someone online, if a guy can't arrange it, so any men watching this, if you can't arrange a date in seven days, sort yourself out, because there's no excuse for it. Going for coffee is a date. I actually think coffee dates are better than dinner dates, in my opinion, because they're more relaxed. But yeah, go arrange it within 7 days maximum. But if you wait any longer, you're going to get more chance of someone else swooping in and taking the other person away from you. When you are arranging a date, I would say probably the best thing to do is make it so you're not making yourself too ready, either too available. A lot of people will be like, okay, I can do every day this week, whenever you can. It's like, you come across a bit needy here, mate. Like, do you know what I mean? I would say, give them like 3 days you can do. Let's say you meet them on Monday. Say, okay, I can do Wednesday evening, Thursday evening, and Saturday evening. And leave it at that. They can't do it, and then that's their problem, right? But you've thrown it out. But if you go, I can do any day you want, any time, you come across desperate, and your value just plummets, mate, really hard. You say, I have a few days this week. Let me know when's good for you there. So that's why what I would say for that one is momentum. And don't make yourself too available, but give options at the same time.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Those are great.
What about you? What about your tips?
I definitely am like, you know, 3 to 7 days on, get offline, meet the person, see if there's a connection. I mean, just boom, like, want to go on a second date? Great. If it's like not for your thing, you know, if it's not your thing, then you know. But yeah, the people that are like endlessly online and chatting, it's like, no. I don't have time for that. I don't want to do that. I want to meet you. I want to see what you're about.
So ladies look for a man. So I would listen well to this as well. If a guy can't arrange a date within 7 days, he's indecisive and he's a low value man, because indecision is a low value trait, mm-hmm. effectively. Right. Yeah. So think of it. I think he's a bit of a goon. You know, bin him off.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm very like to the point. I'm very raw.
No, but I, you know, being in New York for like 10 years and dealing with men, I love it. That's just how I communicate too. I don't have a lot of fluff in my
Do you find it yourself? A lot of dating coaches have a lot of fluff and it doesn't really help a lot. Like the best analogy I've heard for it is cookie fortune advice. It's like, no, sometimes you need to be told straight up, bin him off, or he's good, or she's good, bin her off, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Bin her off to people from America listening, it means get rid of, right? No, stop dating them. But yeah, I think like just a raw advice is like tell how it is, mm-hmm. like instead of just like making it too clinical, this is not.
Agreed.
You know, there are rights and wrongs. I think with a lot of clinical advice, it's kind of like trying to tailor to everyone involved. Like, maybe they're feeling like that. No, I don't give a shit. Like, mm-hmm. it's done. Like, do you know what I mean? Because you're wasting your time. Perfect. So that's why I get so many clients always come back. They're like, oh, okay, this happened. What do I do instead of talking to, like, you know, your clinical-y sort of thing? Because it's true. It happens. It works, isn't it?
Yeah, they respect you. You're honest. And they realize that you're right. Not that we're trying to be right. It's not right or wrong, but we kind of are.
There's this TikToker, James Castillo, right? And he packages, he's not a dating coach. He just gives like he calls it relationship advice, but it's hilarious, right?
Okay.
But the man's never wrong. It's the most brutal advice you'll ever hear in your life, right? And it's brutal. It's like meant to be comedy, but it's not. And it is. I love watching that. I think it's amazing. And if I had like a dating show, I'd have him as a dating coach. You know, he's not. Do you know what I mean? Because it's so brutal. It's hilarious to listen to. Castillo, his name is.
Okay, I have to look it up.
Don't go there to try and make yourself feel like better about your relationship, because it ain't going to make you feel better about your relationship, right? But he's there like, I don't know how much I can say in the podcast. You know what I mean?
You can say whatever you want on here.
This guy texted him. I don't know who's texting me for asking for advice, which is funny. Goes, this woman's not texting me as much. She's getting a bit dry. I, but you know, I'm trying to like pursue it, but she's not interested. But what do I do? I asked her if she still wants to text me, and she said, yeah, but I'm not really feeling it. And his advice was like, this is fucking brutal. He was there like, mate, you're going to be an Uber driver to a dick appointment, and you're going to be sitting there crying, going, oh, I could be that guy for you. And he goes, you're a mess, mate. Sort your life out. You make me sick. But I tell you what, it's so brutal. But he's right. He's completely right. Like, is there like, just watch, anyone listen, just watch him. He's the best TikToker out there for just entertainment purposes, and he's never wrong, which is hilarious as well.
That's awesome. Just
stupid.
His delivery is brutal, but he's right on, right?
Yeah, don't get me wrong, he's not gonna make you feel good about yourself, like but he's never wrong, right?
But he's entertaining.
Out of all the dating coaches online I see online, he's the best. And he's not a dating coach.
I love it.
Do you know what I mean? It's I got no qualm for saying that. It's just, it's hilarious. Like, it's all amazing.
Right, I'm going to go check him out. So on a personal note, what was one of your favorite dates and what was it?
My favorite date? Ooh, so let me think. Me and Mrs. had loads of nice dates. I'd probably say a nature walk, actually. Me and my girlfriend went to Wales, funny enough. And Wales got some beautiful nature there. And we went to this place called the Four Waterfalls. Super nice. And just the whole day, just it sounds weird, but just walking like through the countryside, you got waterfalls everywhere. And it's just perfect. We went home and we booked out this like little lodge, grotto-y sort of thing. It's like a hobbit house, effectively. And it's really, really, really nice. It's like something from Lord of the Rings. And it's really nice. And we went for like a little pub dinner. And it's just there, like, it sounds stupid, but it was so wholesome, you know?
I love it.
Yeah. What about yourself?
Oh, it's been a minute.
When's the last time you went on a date then? When's the last time you went on a date?
It's been a couple months, but like a really great date.
Yeah.
I think for me, it was probably a year and a half ago. It was for my birthday. And I went and saw I got a surprise from a good friend of mine who I had a favorite DJ of mine. He ended up sending me a video to wish me a happy birthday. And I was like, oh, you know, like almost died. And then ended up getting me some tickets to go see him live. And I had never seen him live. And it was just the best. So knowing someone really, something that you really love and that you can connect with somebody. So I always love listening to other people's dates, because it's really at the, like, you're in nature, right? Nature is like one of the most places to come back to, like, a mindfulness, like it's spiritual. It's like, and then being there with the one that you love, it's just probably even more like amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, 100%. I think, like, I don't know, a fourth date, like a big nature walk, it's an amazing date. I really do. You're walking, you're talking, you're like taking in the view, the fresh air. There's no downside to it. Like, if anyone goes, oh, I'd rather go fast dinner, I mean, you're wrong. You're wrong, 100%. Because you'll build more of a connection with somebody, like, doing that sort of thing. I'm trying to think, we went on loads of nice days, so. Like, my favourite place in New York, to New York people listening, is Electric Lemon. You know in Hudson Yard?
Yeah.
I like Electric Lemon. That's really nice. I like that place. Just stuff like that. Like, I like either going for, like, a nice coffee in, like, a nice bar or a nature-y walk. That's what we like doing.
Electric Lemon has it has a gorgeous view, you know?
Yeah, it's just nice, isn't it? Like that sort of thing. Like, I'm trying to think, we probably date about 2-3 times a week somehow, which we could go, I put a thing up, went viral on TikTok, got like 4 million views or something. And I said, bare minimum things that your boyfriend should be doing for you is taking on one date a week. And but people are like, I can't do that. I'm like, mate, get a grip. Like, you can't do that. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it don't have to be expensive. If you have no money, which is absolutely fine. A lot of people don't these days, because cost of living is a joke. Like, just chill out at home, cooking dinner together, like a nice little candlelit dinner. That costs you. You need that anyway.
Yeah,
so put a candle in the middle. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like. So I just think, like, you can watch a movie, get some snacks, put Netflix on under a blanket. That's a date. Like, so like we do like 3 days a week, like that's minimum. Awesome.
Well, it's going to keep your relationship healthy. So 100%. I love it. Well, I want to ask where people can buy your book. What's the name of your book? Her Dating Coach?
Her Dating Coach. Yeah. So it's for men. You probably won't like it. It's also actually funny enough, it's got good tips for men in there, but it's okay. More tailored for women to, you know, dating them to get the man that you want effectively. But yeah, that's on Amazon worldwide as well. It's on ebook and paperback. Link to it's in my Instagram bio, or just go to Amazon and type in Her Dating Coach. It's like a blue thing. It's got a really good drawing. The lady's called Adriana Kloekner, which is Tigris Blue Online. Uh-huh. I saw her on Instagram. I was like, you're good. You're really good at drawing. So I just messaged her, said, do you want to do the cover art? She was great. Absolutely great. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's like a blue background, like a Greek statue, but like uh-huh. in like a anime-ish sort of style. You'll see it looks cool.
I wasn't sure what it was, but now that you're telling me, I think it's really cool. Yeah
if you look at it again, it's a Greek modern statue.
Oh, okay.
holding a phone.
Oh,
once you okay. When I say what it is, you're like, oh my goodness, that's what it looks really cool. Yeah. Like I was the same at first, I wasn't 100% understanding what it was, and she described it, I went, that's genius, that's so good. I love it. And then people like it. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, and can you just tell everybody your socials, even though I'm going to provide them at the end, but just so you can.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's just JacobLucas101 on Instagram and TikTok. Okay. And my website is jacoblucasdating.com. So, yeah.
Perfect. And well, Jake, thank you so much for coming on today's show. It was so great speaking to you and getting to know you. And yeah, so we'll be in touch.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Come and hang out with me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode because I always love hearing from you all. You can find all the links and resources in the show notes of the episode on my website, celestemoore.com. Okay, that's all for now. I'll see you in the next episode. See you next time, friends.